Continental Tyres.
AFL Trade Radio.
Trade News, AFL Exchange. For Repco Authorised Service. For expert car service you can rely on, book online at repcoservice.com. And for Rheem. Built tough for Aussie conditions. When it comes to water heating, ask your plumber to install a Rheem.
Hello and welcome to the AFL Trade Exchange. I'm Riley Beveridge. I'm joined by Mitch Cleary. We're here on Continental Tyres, AFL Trade Radio. When you need tyres, ask for Continental. Continental-tyres.com.au. Mitch Cleary, how are you going?
Going well, Riley. Even more up and about, given you dropped the at the start of Exchange then. So we've had the debate. For those that have listened to our podcast throughout the season and the last couple of years, yourself, Cal Toomey and I have had the ongoing debate whether we should have the AFL Exchange, and you've just dropped it. So it's made my day.
You got some fresh trade news to drop off the very top. What do you got for us, Clears?
Yeah, so any name at this time of the year is of interest when clubs start to ask the question. And rival clubs, including Essendon, have started to pick up the phone around contracted St Kilda player Ben Long right now. So he's contracted at the Saints for 2022. Clubs just starting to ask the question where he sits in the Saints' plans and where he sees himself in the Saints' plans. He played 15 games this year. Four of those came as the sub. He switched from defence to attack late in the year just to get a game. So he's on the fringe very much at the Saints. I think a few clubs are starting to ask the question, could he make us better and would he be open to a move? So 12 months remaining on that contract. He was drafted as a pressure forward, kicked a lot of goals in Footscray's run to the 2016 VFL Premiership, started his time at the Saints in attack, moved to defence under Brett Ratton at the start of last year, sort of pushed out this year with Jack Sinclair and Jimmy Webster getting back into that halfback line and rising in their form. And I think a few clubs are just starting to see exactly where he sits in the scheme of things. Essendon is one club that has asked the question. His uncle, Michael Long, is a legend of that footy club, as big a name as you'll find at the Bombers. The Bombers, as you reported, also showed some interest in Malcolm Roses at Gold Coast as a pressure forward. He is likely to stay now at Gold Coast. So clearly Essendon is looking for that pressure forward. Maybe Ben Long could be their answer. I think it's pretty preliminary interest right now from the Bombers, but a number of clubs are starting to pick up the phone.
So their intention would be to play him as a forward because he's probably played his best footy across halfback for the Saints.
He has. His best season was 2020. He missed a few games through suspension, but he was a first-choice player in that year, and the Saints even went to the, I think, appeals board in the finals to get him off that semi-final charge that he ultimately missed with. I think you can play at both ends, really. The Bombers had good success with Nick Hind as a halfback from St Kilda as well. I'm not exactly sure where the Bombers see him if he was to come across. And again, I don't think they've gone all out in a pursuit for Ben Long right now, but they have asked the question of him. Maybe it is for that pressure forward in that player, in that mould that we spoke about with Roses.
Are there any other clubs, do you think, or is it just would just be Essendon?
I think there are a few other clubs. As to who they are, I don't know exactly yet. I think this is a name we'll be looking at for the next 4 or 5 days. A bit more information will come out on Ben Long. So we'll wait, sit back and see. Are there any other interested suitors? But as it's been put to me this morning, a few clubs are keen. The Bombers are one of those.
All right, so you can check out that full story on afl.com.au. That's a good one, Mitch. We're here for AFL Trade Exchange for Rheem. Ask your plumber to install a Rheem, steady, hot and strong. And for Repco Authorised Services, for expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com. Now, for anyone who's new to AFL Exchange, the way we sort of do things and the way we'll do things today over the next hour is we pose a few questions to each other and we try and get answers to them. You can get involved for the Kogan Mobile open line 1300 235 548. But Mitcho, the first question I want to ask you, we obviously saw Melbourne win the grand final and win the premiership, first one in 57 years on Saturday night. What can clubs take from their list build into this year's trade period?
Yeah, it's fascinating. I think there's a few things you can take out of what Melbourne did on the weekend. Firstly, it's patience with his stars. Obviously, Petrarca is now at 26. He's got an 8-year contract in front of him, but he only really came good as a superstar of the competition at the start of 2020. So he took his time, and with the top-end players, you know, you look at a Carlton, do they have to buy their time a little bit longer on a Paddy Dow and these sorts of players? Luke Davies-Uniacke at North Melbourne, when can we expect him to come good? Well, Petrarca and Oliver, I think Oliver was always a star as soon as he burst onto the scene, but Petrarca has taken his time to get to this level. The other thing as well is you've just got to nail your mid-range picks. So you look at some of the players Melbourne has taken. I've got the notebook. I've prepared this. So these are the players Melbourne have taken. Sparrow at 27, Spargo at 29, Fritch 31, Rivers 32, James Jordan 33, Gorn 34, Petty 37. Mm. It's a pretty good core, plus the youth as well. They've backed in the youth. 8 players, 21 or under on the weekend. And I went back to look at Geelong's team this season. They haven't got one player in their best 22, 21 or under. Melbourne had 8 on the weekend in their premiership team. The other thing, I questioned it at the time and sort of thought, should you be having that much tied up in your key defenders? Well, they went and got Jake Lever and Stephen May. I think those two players are in their top 5 paid players on the list, but yep, it's worked. And they've gone and drafted for the stars and traded for the needs. Ed Langdon was a need on the wing. That worked. Ben Brown comes in as a key forward. That worked. He's kicked 3 goals in a grand final. So all the plaudits to Melbourne Footy Club, and I reckon they might be hanging around for a little bit longer.
You mentioned those later picks. I think what you need to do is you need to nail those later picks if you're going to go early on players. So we've seen this with St Kilda over the last couple of years. They haven't taken a first-round pick to the draft in 2 seasons. Melbourne didn't do it for 2 seasons in 2017 and 2018, but what they did, which is what you mentioned, is they nailed their later picks. So 2017, they trade their first-round pick for Jake Lever, but then they get with those 3 later picks, Spargo, Fritch and Petty, who all played in the premiership on Saturday night. 2018, they trade a first-round pick for Stephen May, but then their later picks, they take Tom Sparrow and James Jordan, who are part of the 23 on Saturday night. So they've managed to do both. They've got early guns in,
yep,
with their first round picks, and they've managed to top up their list and top up their playing group with the 22 that played on the weekend with those later picks. The other thing I think clubs should take a lesson from in terms of what Melbourne have done is don't panic if you have a bad year.
Yeah.
2019, they finished second bottom.
Yep.
They didn't panic. They went to the draft. They traded a future pick to get another second first round selection. They bring in 2 players that play critical roles in that grand final in Luke Jackson and Kaiser Pickett. So it's not all doom and gloom if you have the bad year. I think that's something that probably St Kilda can learn from this year. They go out, they target their trade period the last 2 years, but they have a down year this year. Maybe they go to the draft this season, bring in some youth to complement those experienced players they've brought in over the last 2 seasons, and maybe that's how they go through.
Mm. Keen to get what our listeners have to say about this. 1-300-23-55-48. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter as well, at AFL Exchange. We love our interaction with our fans. The full podcast will be online a little later as well. So keen to get your take on where you see Melbourne and the best parts of their list build heading into that grand final. Rolls, on the other side of things, the Western Bulldogs, what is their biggest need right now to ensure they're back in the grand final next year?
I don't think they need to panic from Saturday night. I think that's a one-off game, which they were very much in with 40 seconds to go in the third quarter. So I don't think they need to panic. I think they need to look at it more holistically. And I think their one need they've had for the entire season is in key defence. I think the chopping and changing they've done down there, whether or not it was Ryan Gardner or Zane Cordy or Alex Keith or who was playing down there, I think they sort of lack that one player that you can just lock away and you don't have to think about for the rest of the game. Melbourne has 2 of them with Jake Lever and Stephen May. I'm just not sure who the Dogs have right now that you can lock away and you don't have to worry about for the rest of the game. So that's a big need. Do they need a long-term ruck? Stephen Martin, as you reported over last week, wants to go again. But
yeah, that was Cal that reported that.
Yes, on Inside Trading on AFL.com.au on Thursday. But do they back him in for a year or do they need a long-term option if they do see Tim English as a key forward?
Yeah, and then where does Jamara Ugle-Hagen fit into all of that? And where does Sam Darcy fit into all of that? There's some good questions. Where do you see Peter Laddams right now? So right now, as it sits, we understand he's looking around to see where he sits. I think he'd be keen to or happy to stay at Port Adelaide if it came to that next year. But do you see him being a number one ruckman right now? Because a few clubs have gone and done it, and some of the best ruckmen in recent years have come from recycled options from other clubs. Is Peter Laddams an option for the Dogs?
Yeah, I think he should be if he's not. And I think you can almost take a longer-term approach to this if you're the Dogs and say, look, we might keep Steph Martin next year, but you'll be our number one ruckman from 2023 onwards.
Yeah.
I think that's a similar thing to what North Melbourne has sold for Callum Coleman-Jones. I think he wants to be a number one ruck in the future, but I don't think he's going to be North Melbourne's number one ruck next year. It's going to be Todd Goldstein. But I think they've just said to him, look, if you bide your time, spend a couple of years forward, you're going to be our number one ruck for the future. And I think a club like the Western Bulldogs, if they've got the cap room, can make that play for Peter Laddams. I think he's the most natural fit for them. Maybe someone like a Hawthorn as well. But I don't know how you see it, but I think that Laddams is almost a perfect player for them in the sense that he can be that long-term number one ruck. You mentioned 2 players there. It's not often that a side makes the grand final and has the number one pick from the year before and will have a top 3 pick a year later, which is what the Dogs have. So 2-3 years time, you're going to bring in Jamara, you're going to bring in Sam Darcy into that side, and things are going to be looking rosy for the Dogs. They just need to keep complementing the list. I don't think you can compromise the talent they've got there to have a quick fix, because I think these players they've got in reserve are going to be the ones that are going to be taking them to that next step in a couple of years on.
What do you think about the Dogs' need for a small pressure forward? Now, not criticising Cody Waitman in any way, but as you wrote a couple of weeks ago, he's not your traditional small forward. He plays almost as a marking forward in the air. He plays above his height, as we love to say here on AFL Exchange. Looking at the Bulldogs, and this is only one stat that ranks it, but average tackles inside 50 for the season. Mitch Hannon is their highest player in that department at 1.4 tackles inside 50 per game.
Yeah.
The Demons built their season off Alex Neil-Bullen, Charlie Spargo, Cozzie Pickett in that area. Do the Dogs need someone like that to be buzzing around it and putting pressure on at the feet of their tools?
Yeah, maybe another one. I think Cody Waitman's pressure actually goes a bit under the radar. I think he's their number one forward half pressure player since he came into the side in round 9. That'll only build. I mean, I think the way the game's played now, Melbourne won the flag based predominantly on their forward half pressure throughout the year and being able to retain the ball in their forward half. The way the game's played now, I think you sort of have to build your game from that. So the more you can have, the better. I just don't know where you sort of find that now, because I think every club is cottoned on to the fact that you do need these players. So
like Mitch Wallace, for example, he's not your pressure forward, is he? He's more of your mark. You know, he's an option in the air, on the lead. He's not really, for me anyway, he's not that Cozzie Pickett, Charlie Spargo, Alex Neil-Bullen type.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I think he's more so when he has played, has been the deepest option as a marking target.
So I'm just trying to think, what else have they got on their list? Like Lockie McNeil from the Western Bulldogs, have re-signed him for a couple of seasons.
Scott.
Yeah, Anthony Scott. There's a few options there. I don't know. It's just one thing that I'll look at trying to compare Melbourne's list to the Bulldogs, and it's something that jumps out at the D's.
I think with those type of players as well, I mean, Cozzie Pickett's almost the exception because he was an early pick and he's got all the talent in the world. But you don't need to be a number one draft pick to apply pressure. And I think we've seen that. I think Adelaide's actually done that quite well this year. They've brought in guys like Berry who have been able to apply pressure. They're not blue chip draft picks that you have to go out and trade the world for, but they've come into the side and the first thing they can do is they can apply pressure. It doesn't take talent to apply pressure. So I think you can always get these players, whether or not they're mature age players out of state leagues or what they are. I think you can find these players from somewhere. All right, we'll get to a call now. For the Kogan Mobile open line, make the call and switch to Kogan Mobile today. David in Springvale wants to talk about Collingwood and Mason Cox.
G'day, guys. First of all, two questions. What's Collingwood got to do to get these points in to be able to match any bid for Nick Daicos? And two, would that be saying, Mason, if you want to leave, go to North Melbourne, and we'll take the second and third round picks.
Gee, David, that'd be an amazing result for Collingwood if they were able to get those sort of picks of Mason Cox. The way I see it right now is he hasn't been offered a new contract at the Pies. That could still well happen. Craig McRae and Mason have a close link. McRae was development at the Pies when Mason Cox first arrived there. Full circle now, he's the senior coach. He could well still be offered a contract, but he's without one of those right now. If Mason Cox was to leave, it's more likely to be a late pick. We're talking fourth round or even as a delisted free agent, Riles, right now, unfortunately, for Mason. As for their picks, we've got a story online now, afl.com.au, with each of the club-by-club situation as to where they sit. I did the calculation over the weekend. It's about 700 points behind the Pies are right now for Nick Daicos.
And you can go into deficit. Let's not forget. They wouldn't be the first club to have gone into deficit when matching a bid on a father, son or an NGA player.
Freo did it when they brought those three players, Sarong, Liam Henry and Hayden Young in. Clubs can do that. They don't like to do it because of how much it compromises you the year after.
Yeah.
I see a couple of scenarios. So they're after Pat Lipinski at the Dogs, Nathan Kruger at the Cats. Mm-hmm. I think one of those players will come via the preseason draft. Whichever team might be doing the hardest haggling, I think one of those guys comes through. The Pies will have pick two in the preseason draft, much like Jackson Hatley at the Crows or even Jack Martin at the Blues. I think one of those players will arrive via the preseason draft. And then the other one might be a future third round pick to the Dogs or the Cats for Kruger or Lipinski. Then maybe it's a second rounder next year, comes into this year for the Pies. I think they need to try and get as many points from next year's draft into this year's draft to sort out the Nick Daicos situation. Right now, pick one is worth 3,000 points. That'll be discounted by 20% at 2,400 if Dacos comes
That's
at pick
good
one.
Good maths, Mitcho.
If it's two or three, I think the Pies should be safe. But right now, if a bid comes at pick one, they're in a bit of strife as it sits right now.
Yeah, you can always trade into future to bring picks into this year.
Yeah.
To get rid of it. It's sort of, it's robbing Peter to pay Paul a little bit, though, because of what you're doing. You're almost going into deficit for the next year.
Yeah.
In case, but at least you've got more control over it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Pies. More of your calls soon. We'll get to a break now. You're listening to AFL Trade Exchange for Ream. Ask your plumber to install a Ream, steady, hot and strong. And for Repco authorised services, for car service, book online at repcoservice.com.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tires, when everything counts, counts on Continental. AFL Trade Exchange, for Repco authorised service. For expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com. And for Ream, ask your plumber to install a Ream. Steady, hot and strong. A trade news update for Beaumont Tiles.
This is a trade news update for the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. Visit icanwin.com.au. As Mitch Cleary reported off the top on AFL Trade Exchange, contracted St Kilda defender Ben Long getting a bit of interest from Essendon to kickstart the trade period. The Bombers obviously searching for another pressure forward and have identified Ben Long as a potential option going forward. You are listening to AFL Trade Exchange on Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. When you need tires, ask for Continental, continental-tires.com.au. Micho, we get to our next question. Free agency does open on Friday. What are the news sort of snippets that you're expecting between now and then?
I think we're waiting to hear exactly what Adam Chera is doing. I think Carlton is the only destination now for him, given they've got pick six. There's no other club into Adam Chera right now, unless it's a late curveball from Richmond, but I can't see that happening. Mm-hmm. They have the picks to justify a move for Adam Chera and to keep Fremantle happy. So I think we'll see that drop in a formal sense in the next day or two. Players are pretty reluctant when they're out of contract to nominate their homes of choice, unless it's a Tim Kelly-like scenario and they're trying to almost force a club into it or twist their arm. They're reluctant to nominate their home of choice unless they know they're going to be able to get there. The Petruski seat one, which we'll get to a little later, is an example of that. Like, he's not going to nominate West Coast unless he has a pretty good understanding that he's going to be able to get there. The other one as well is we're waiting on is Jordan Clark. Now, he's been in WA since the Cats season finished in that preliminary final. He's been over there enjoying his off season as he should, but I'm expecting a formal trade request to come in the next week or so. The only little stumbling block, as we mentioned on last week's podcast, Riles, is Matthew Scarlett. Now, he has left the Cats, doesn't have a home for next year. He's sitting out of footy for 12 months, but where he sits in the whole scheme of things with Jordan Clark, he didn't want to play him in defence. Clark had to play wing and even as a small forward this year because Scarlett didn't want him in his back seven. Let's see if that changes Jordan Clark's thinking. Maybe, you know, a new coach, I could have a new lease on life. But I think they're too far down the path now to change his mind.
So you think there's no chance whatsoever that he thinks to himself, because you've been all over this Matthew Scarlett story since day one,
yep,
that it was Scarlett's decision not to play him off halfback. You think that...
Among others, I think Matthew Scarlett's been the chief driver of it.
Could it change Geelong's view? Could Chris Scott say to him now, look, we'd love to keep you, and we do see a role for you off halfback longer term in our plans?
Yeah, I think there is a little window now that Jordan Clark's mind could be swayed, but he has met with Fremantle. He's got a four-year offer from the Dockers in front of him right now. I think they're too far down the path with this one. So 12 months ago, Jordan Clark explored a move back home to WA to play for the Dockers. It was Joel Selwood at that point, the captain who's very close with Jordan Clark, who convinced him to stay for another 12 months, see what he could do, see if he could bide his time and force his way into that Cats lineup. It hasn't happened. Yes, you could argue there's better players picked ahead of him, but I think the fact it's happened twice now just means we're about to see him do it. I could be wrong. It could he could do a backflip and stay, but I just think it's too far gone now.
In terms of the Adam Chera decision,
yeah,
we're expecting him to nominate Carlton in the next 48 hours or so.
Yeah.
Is that purely down to the fact that Melbourne just wouldn't have had the assets to complete a trade, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. They don't have their first round pick this year as it sits, so What's Melbourne's first pick this year? It's in the 30s, I think. 33. Mm. Melbourne's first round pick. And then next year's first rounder, well, they're not finishing outside the top four next year, are they? So it's not going to be anything inside 15 at next year's draft. So I just can't see Melbourne, unless it was a Brayshaw or a Jackson, but I can't see them wanting to trade Luke Jackson after his third quarter single-handedly changed the game.
All right, we'll get to the Kogan Mobile open line. If you'd call, hit us up, 1300 23 55 48. Manny in Melbourne wants to talk about Braden Sire. G'day, Manny.
Hello.
G'day, guys.
I'd just like to ask about, if Braden Sire would be playing in the midfield next year or if he has any interest from other clubs.
Without a contract offer right now from the Pies, he's been told he has to wait until the end of trade period to learn his fate. I can't see any clubs coming hard at him right now, given the way he's fallen out of the team that finished second last on the ladder. This year, as to where he fits, you know, I can't see any clubs sort of being a definite need. You look at Geelong and their need for extra midfield depth. Well, I think they've had their similar player in Charlie Constable and haven't played him. Gold Coast have had their similar player in Will Brody. You know, St Kilda, they've had their player in Luke Dunstan and they've parted ways with him. So as to who it fits, Essendon's been the one that always gets thrown up around Braden Sire, but their midfield is so stocked right now that they've got good players like Andy McGrath, who had to play on a wing in the finals.
Yeah.
Caldwell to roll through there. Merritt, Parrish, Dylan Scheel is still on their list, and probably Scheel's now third or fourth midfielder in line at that club. So I can't see it being Essendon this year. Does a Port Adelaide look at him as an extra mid of midfield depth? But I can't see him sort of replacing that Willem Drew role in there. So I think the options are pretty dry for Braden Sire.
Not a great time to be an inside midfielder and a big-bodied inside midfielder. You almost missed the rush, didn't you? Like 5 years ago, I reckon if you weren't getting a game in a side like that and you're a Braden Sire type player, there'd be teams clamouring for you because everyone was after that big-bodied inside midfielder. Players like Patrick Cripps had sort of changed the way the game went. Yep. But then we've seen the last sort of 24 months that the game's going in a completely new direction now. Everyone's after runners.
Yeah.
So people are after guys like George Hewitt who can he can be a defensive runner. He can run both ways. They're attracting more interest than a guy like Braden Sire and Charlie Constable's in that boat as well. So, yeah, I just don't see where these guys fit at the end of the day. It's hard.
The only option for a Sire, I think, could be as a rookie option, unless Craig McRae sees, well, we'll give you 12 more months and see what you can prove to us at Collingwood. There could be some midfield opportunities still at that club. But right now, I don't see anyone coming too hard in a significant way for Braden Sire. One for you. Freo's not going to get Lachie Neale this time around. What should they do, the Dockers, with Adam Chera's money? So they had $700,000 or thereabouts set aside for Adam Chera if he wanted to stay. We know he's leaving. What should the Dockers do in that space?
Well, you have to think they'd get Jordan Clark now, unless, as you said, that window at Geelong just opens a tiny little bit after Matthew Scarlett's departure. I think they need a key forward. I don't see a natural key forward there for them going forward. I think that's the big spot in their list. You got to look, their midfield looks really strong. We've seen Andy Brayshaw go through there. We've seen Caleb Sorong go through there. They've still got Nat Fyfe. David Money's going to run around again. I like what they've built down back. I think they've got some really good pieces down back to work with. Hopefully Alex Pearce can stay fit, get back into that side next year. Obviously, their ruck stocks are awesome. I just don't know who's going to be a long-term, reliable goal kicker. I'd love to see it from Matt Taberner, but he's teased us for so long now. He's not sure if it's going to eventually click across an entire 22-game season for him. So I don't know what they do. I don't
28
know
now, Matt Taberner. He's had plenty of opportunities and hasn't grabbed onto it. Rory Lobb is exploring his options, as Cal Toomey has reported. Josh Tracy, can they hitch their wagon to him in a big sense? I don't know, as a rookie. I've liked the looks of him in parts, but is he the one you build a forward line around? The one I'm keen to see, and I'm not saying he's a trade target anyway, but I can't wait to see what Michael Walters can do next year. Mm. Really underwhelming this season, had the injuries with the hamstring. I just love to see him back at full flight because, for me, he's a top 10 player in the competition to watch when he's going at full power.
This is just a pure hypothetical, and we love them here on Trade Radio, so I'm going to say it, but they've got cap room, as you mentioned. They need a young key forward. Why don't they just start planting the seed with someone like a Logan McDonald?
Yeah.
We know about Sydney's cap issues. They're yet to sign Logan McDonald. They're yet to sign Braden Campbell beyond their first two-year contracts. So both of them are out the end of next year.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to leave at the end of 2022, Logan McDonald. But why wouldn't you start planting that seed?
But the Dockers are going to have more money to offer, aren't they, in their third and fourth year contracts as opposed to the Swans.
And that's already ballooned over the last decade, the third and fourth year contracts and what they represent in terms of a financial figure. So why aren't they the club to potentially ask the question of him?
Yeah, so I heard, I think, Nat Fyfe speaking on WA radio last week. It might have been Sports Day WA, talking about the need to go to the draft this year and get a key forward. Are you across sort of the key forward options in the West right now? I think Jacob Van Ruyen has been played a bit of defence this year in the second half of the season.
Miss as well.
Yeah, so can you give us a bit of an update on where those guys sit, Jai Miss and a couple of those options?
Yeah, I mean, they could be well and truly in their mix. They're going to end up having pick 6 and 8, which you'd have to think would go to pick 8 and 10 after the early bids for Sam Darcy and Nick Dacos. So they're going to have two top 10 picks regardless of what way you look at it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's their option and they get a real good blue chip player there and they don't have to look abroad. They can start building from within and I think that's probably the way to go and that's probably what clubs like Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs have shown us over the last couple of years, that you can bring in young talent at the draft and expect to see immediate results. So, yeah, that's an option for them as well, I think.
All right,
we'll get to the Kogan Mobile open line now. And Connor from Bendigo has a couple of trade proposals for us. Connor. You there, Connor? No, he's not. All right, we might get to a break. We'll get some more calls. We've got Andy and Ryan waiting on the open line. We'll get to more of them shortly. You are listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. When you need tires, ask for Continental. Continental-tires.com.au.
AFL Trade Exchange for Repco Authorised Service. For expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com. And for Ream, ask your plumber to install a Ream. Steady, hot and strong.
All right, you are listening to AFL Trade Exchange on Continental Tires, AFL Trade Radio. When you need tires, ask for Continental, continental-tires.com.au. Micho, we're about to get to one of our favourite segments, and we have a sponsor for it. For Sea-Doo, your way, visit Sea-Doo.com. It is Who Says No? Got a new stinger for it as well.
I'll tell you what I'm not saying no to, and that's buying a Sea-Doo ahead of summer. What a time to be buying a Sea-Doo ahead of summer. I want to be out there once lockdown's over and done with, to be out there on the water, but we can get to more of that later.
All right. This is one where we offer up a potential trade, a hypothetical trade situation, and we ask which club says no. Today, Mitchell, I want to do West Coast going after Sam Petrovsky's seat, and obviously, as reported on AFL.com.au last week, he has requested a trade to the Eagles. So it's Samo to the Eagles for pick 35. Who says no?
I think the Eagles say no to that. I reckon they might have a lower starting price for Sam Petrovsky's seat.
Right.
I think it's about right for him, but I think the Eagles making the running on this. He's out of contract. He's been out of out of Carlton's team this season for the best part of the second half of the year. Only came in bits and pieces. I think 35 is about right, but if I'm the Eagles, I'm starting in a lower base.
I think Carlton will have their eyes on pick 29.
Yeah.
Which is West Coast's second pick at this year's draft. Obviously, they started pick 10 as things stand. I think Carlton don't really have a strong leg to stand on, given the fact that he's out of contract. He only had 11 starts this year, seriously out of form, didn't end this season in the side. So they're a bit behind the schedule there, I think, in terms of what they'd want. I think in an ideal world, he probably gets a new contract and fulfills that potential that saw him taken with the top 6 draft pick 5 years ago. But in an ideal world, he probably plays every game this year, has an impressive season, and you can ask for a first-round pick for him. I just think the going rate for a first-round pick within the last 5 years, if they've played 90-odd games, which Sam Petrovsky-Seaton has at Carlton, then the going rate for them should be, even if they're not on the side, it should be at least a second-round pick. And I think Carlton probably has every reason to, or every right to ask for pick 29 to start with.
So 35 for me is end of second round as it sits right now. It'll obviously get pushed back with a few bids and those sorts of things, but it is end of second round as it sits. The one I compare it to, and I actually use Zach Jones as a comparison earlier today, talking about Jordan Dawson. Zach Jones was pick 32, and I'm only plucking that out of thin air because it's a rough figure around that value. I think Zach Jones, when he moved from Sydney to St Kilda, was probably worth a little bit more than Sam Petrovsky-Seaton right now. He was in Sydney's best team. Sam Petrovsky-Seaton, how many finals has he played in? None. I think 35 is about the mark for me, but I can see why Carlton would be asking for a bit more. He's out of contract, though, going home. they don't have a great deal of leverage in this one.
Got a text in from Jackson who says he's a huge Doggies and AFL Exchange fan, commiserating after their loss. He reckons Daniel Talia would be a good fit for the Dogs. How do you see that?
Positionally, I think it'd be an amazing fit. He'd be great. He turns 30 ahead of next season. But with the history right now with the Talia family and the Western Bulldogs, I just can't see that happening in any world. So
refresh our memories there.
Refresh our memories. And I'm going to leave bits of the story out because I can't specifically remember everything around it. But ahead of a final, I think it was 2015, the Crows are playing the Dogs. Now, there was an assertion or some sort of feeling from the Dogs that Michael Talia, who was on the list at the time, fed some information to his brother Daniel. The Crows won that final. Remember Tex Walker's kick to Charlie Cameron. Awesome. It hasn't been the best of relationships with the Talia family and the Western Bulldogs since that moment. Michael Talia obviously didn't finish his career there and everything that's happened since. So I think on paper it would be a great move, but I think you or I have a better chance of getting drafted this year than Daniel Talia being at the Western Bulldogs.
Hey, don't rule me out. What an okay chance. Oh, that was Who Says No. Get on board our Instagram at AFL Exchange. We'll put a little story up where you get to have your say Who Says No, Sam Petrovsky Seaton to West Coast for pick 35. Micho, you wrote a great story on Sunday on afl.com.au about delisted Adelaide forward Tom Lynch potentially landing at North Melbourne, but some details still to be worked through there in terms of whether or not it's in a coaching capacity, in a playing capacity, or a little bit of both. Take us through it.
Yeah, so just for background on this story, you can read it fully online now, afl.com.au and the AFL Live official app. So Tom Lynch delisted by the Crows at the end of this season. 30-year-old, just turned 31, Riles. Finished the year pretty well. I thought probably still good enough to play at a one-year contract at AFL level somewhere. But the Crows have been pretty strong in their stance that they're committing to youth. They didn't see Tom Lynch as part of their next premiership window. So they told him, thank you, but no thank you. We're not going to offer you a new contract. North Melbourne have a strong link to Tom Lynch through two of their current coaches. Obviously, David Noble, who was the list manager at the time when Tom Lynch moved from St Kilda to Adelaide the first time. David Noble finished at the Crows as head of footy with Tom Lynch in that grand final year. Moved to Brisbane, or he may have already been in Brisbane at that time, but he was obviously at Crows for a number of years, moved to Brisbane and now head coach at North Melbourne, has a close link with Tom Lynch, as does Heath Uni, the forwards coach at North Melbourne, who was head of development at the Crows in Tom Lynch's time there. Tom Lynch is going to be employed by the North Melbourne Footy Club as a development coach for their forwards, for the youngsters like Nick Larkey, Charlie Comben,
Jacob Edwards,
yep, Callum Coleman-Jones is about to cross from Richmond. So they see Tom Lynch playing a valuable role to help the young forwards. But they're also looking at him as playing some VFL games at the same time. Now, as part of that, they're weighing up whether he joins as a coach purely or a coach on the playing list. So he...
Tyson Goldsack style.
Exactly. And it's almost the mirror image of that. So remember last year, Tyson Goldsack surprised everyone when he was picked up as a rookie at Port Adelaide. There's a few technicalities there because Port had to put him on their rookie list in order for him to play Sandful. You can only have one ex-AFL player outside your AFL list playing Sandful at the time. There's a few technicalities, but they had to put Goldsack on their AFL list for him in order for him to play Sandful. There's no such rule in the VFL, so Lynch could still play VFL without being on the AFL list. But if he is to be placed on the AFL list, it ensures that he's paid as a player while still coaching and not as a coach standalone. It saves you money in the soft cap, as we know, which has been slashed heavily in the last couple of years. It's a convoluted way to explain it, but essentially the North Melbourne Footy Club is looking at paying him to play, but mostly coaching, to save money in their footy department, which is around about $6.5 million when it was more than $9.5 million only a couple of seasons ago.
So Tyson Goldsack, when he goes to Port Adelaide, was never any chance of playing for Port Adelaide senior side. Would Tom Lynch be any chance of playing for North Melbourne? I mean, he averaged 25 touches over the last month.
He did. And Kane and I discussed this morning on the first slot here on Continental Ties AFL Trade Radio. Kane seems to think that he could play and should play. I personally think if you're playing Tom Lynch, it's robbing your games into Coleman-Jones, into Comben, into Edwards. As a North Melbourne fan, I'd rather play Edwards for a full season or take up some of those 22 games. Where do you sit?
I agree, but I kind of thought when he left Adelaide that he'd get a game at a number of clubs in 2022 if that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So
he's been pretty keen on the coaching path for a while. Yeah. He's worked with the AFLW.
Well, if he doesn't want to play, that makes the decision for North Melbourne, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If he wants to have a couple of easy games on the
that's
on the
thing.
AFL list.
Players are a long time retired, Rolls. Yeah. And once they get into footy clubs and just smell the deep heat and they get around the players, it gets a little, the juices flowing. Maybe it might be a bit hard to resist. But I think he will play some VFL games.
How does he juggle playing VFL games with his coaching goal, though? Like,
I think that's all part of it.
North VFL team plays on the same day as their senior listed.
Well, I think it's more in terms of the younger players. So I don't think a lot of these players don't have AFL requirements on the match day. Yeah. So Sam Mitchell, as an example, wasn't required at AFL match day this year at the Hawks while he was coaching Box Hill. It was only obviously when he could get to the AFL games. So Tom Lynch would be out on the field coaching these guys as the game happens. You know, Jacob Edwards might not play much AFL next year, but he might play 20 VFL games and have Tom Lynch alongside him for a big portion of those. And he might get some minute-by-minute coaching out in the field.
So just clarify something for me. Tom Lynch will be at North Melbourne in 2022, but they're still just juggling what capacity will be. But yep, he will definitely be at the club.
Yes, he's joined as a development coach. Mm-hmm. Whether he joins as a development coach purely or as a player, it will be something to be worked out over the next few weeks.
Question for you, without notice.
Yep.
He joins as a player as a rookie. He's pick one in the rookie draft.
Yep.
How many senior games does he play for North Melbourne next year?
Two.
Two. So he actually
he might play. It would be fun. It'll be fun to watch to see what happens. I think he's still AFL quality. He's 31.
Same. That's why I'm asking the question. I don't think Tyson Goldsack, as I said, with all due respect to Tyson, because we don't love him on this show and we love the drum that he's brought to Port Adelaide this year, but I don't think he's any chance at playing for the Power.
So just, we might be getting a little bit deep here, but I think our fans do enjoy it. So to explain the Goldsack one, there's a rule at Sandford level that you can only have one player who has played AFL footy playing for your Sandford team who's not on your list. So Cam Sutcliffe was delisted by the Power. He was stayed on as the leadership player at Port Adelaide who had played AFL footy. If Goldsack was just playing, you know, as a coach, he wouldn't have been able to play because the Sandford states the Crows and Power can only have one non-AFL listed player who has played at the highest level on their list.
All right.
Yeah.
Plenty more still to come on AFL Trade Exchange. For Ream, ask your plumber to install a Ream steady, hot and strong. And for Repco authorised service, for expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tires. When everything counts, counts on Continental. AFL Trade Exchange. For Repco authorised service. For expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com. And for Ream, ask your plumber to install a Ream. Steady, hot and strong. A trade news update. For Mate Internet and Mobile. Mate, award-winning Aussie service. Mobile plans from $20.
This is a news update for Mate Internet and Mobile, Australia's most satisfied NBN customers. Internet from $59, as Mitch Cleary reported on AFL Trade Exchange from 12 o'clock. Rival clubs are showing interest in contracted St Kilda defender Ben Long, most notably Essendon. The Bombers keen for a bit of pressure inside 50 and have identified Long as a potential option for them going forward. It'll be an interesting one to watch over the next 3 weeks, won't it, Clears?
It will be. I think when these contracted players fall out of their team and become fringe players, other clubs start to look and think, is it an option for them? Still every chance to say it's St Kilda, but I think we might be talking about his name for the next week or two.
Right, you are listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. When you need tires, ask for Continental, continental-tires.com.au. We've got a couple of texts rolling through. Any updates on Rory Lobb's future?
Contracted at Freo for two more seasons, as Cal Toomey has reported on afl.com.au, is open to a move east due to family reasons. Still every chance to say at the Dockers. I think that's the most likely scenario now, but just given his money, I can't see too many suitors in the east being overly keen for Rory Lobb.
We've also had a couple of questions roll through about Jordan Clark and whether or not this is just a situation where, because he's contracted, if Fremantle doesn't give up what the Cats want, could they hold him? And would they be prepared to hold him, do you think? Or is it a situation where they're just as satisfied to usher him out the door?
No, I don't think they're keen to usher him out the door, given he's a first-round pick and they invested a lot in him. I think the Cats would be happy to hold him. They've done it with Tim Kelly. Why not with Jordan Clark? And it's not as if it's a family matter for for Jordan Clark to get back. I don't think that's the main incentive. It's more or less that he's been out of the team for 2 years, and the move and the lure of Fremantle has got stronger over that time. So I don't think it's a family matter for Jordan Clark to get back. It's more of the need to play senior footy.
Okay. What are you expecting? We spoke about this last week, but I want to know if you've updated over the last 48 hours or so. What are you expecting the first and the last trades to be in this year's trade period? First trade to go down, or when free agency opens on Friday morning?
Jake Kelly, I think, will happen from Adelaide to Essendon. The Bombers will lodge that paperwork, and he is unrestricted, so he'll be able to move as soon as possible. Marby or Chole is another one to look at for Friday. Free agency as a as an unrestricted free agent as well. You might think, well, he's only 24. How is he a free agent? Well, he was delisted a couple of seasons ago. So as a delisted player, that means you're a free agent for life from that point on when you next fall out of contract. And Marby or Chole fits into that category. In terms of the actual trade next Monday, so this time next week, trade period opens. I still think Robbie Tarrant is an easy one that'll just get done. To explain that one is, he is a free agent, but I think he'll be done as a trade because Richmond won't want to bring him in as a free agent because they may lose the compensation they get for Marby or Chole going out the other way.
Yeah. So that just gets done for like a pick 70, 80 or something.
I think so,
like
yeah. And then the last one, I think we're talking about Jordan Dawson's daughter down to the wire. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting because we've spoken about this a number of times on AFL Exchange throughout the year, but how do you nominate a Port Adelaide? Pick 16 just seems like it's the perfect pick for him, that sort of 15 to 20 range. Obviously, Adelaide have pick 4 and pick 23, so that doesn't help the Crows. That doesn't help, the Swans out in any way because they want a first-round pick, but the Crows don't want to give up pick 4, do they? And I can't see a situation developing where the Crows get inventive either, and I know a lot of people have proposed that maybe they'll split pick 4 and use one of them on Dawson. I don't think they'd want to move out of pick 4.
Yeah, and one thing's for certain is the Crows aren't going to move their future first next year because they're trying to keep it for Lukosius and Rankin and these sorts of guys next year. So I can't see the Crows parting with pick 4 this year or their future first next year. I think 23 makes up a big part of it. You might see a late shuffle of picks to favour the Swans in that one, but I think 23 should be sort of the main part of that deal.
For another SMS come through, do the Crows go hard in the trade period to try and snag North Melbourne's pick and grab Jason Horn Francis? We saw just how good he was on Friday night.
Again, he was blistering on Friday night playing for South Adelaide. I can't see any way the Crows get it done because they're not going to, I think ideal world, you'd almost go this year's first rounder and next year's first rounder to North Melbourne for pick 1, but they're not going to trade next year's first, the Crows, because they know that Lukosius comes out of contract months.
Who says no a little bit, but I actually think it's the other way around. I don't think North Melbourne would take year's first and next year's first.
Okay, so what is it? The Crows have got pick 5?
Pick 4.
Pick 4. So pick 4 and next year's first, the no, Roos would still say no?
I think they'd want more.
Yeah, okay. There's no way it gets done then.
Because, it's a question that's never really been answered, but how much you end up having to trade for a pick 1.
Yeah.
It's got to be a lot. And I think you see players these days move clubs for 2 first-round picks. I think Tim Kelly was 3, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think you've got a situation now where if you're North Melbourne, you sort of say, you go to the upside and you say, I'd want more than that. Do you agree?
No, I think so. And from what I've seen of Jason Horne-Francis, you watch this space a lot closer than me. I think we're talking about a generational player here, and he plays round 1 next year. When he's doing that for South Adelaide against men at Sandford level.
Yeah. He was the best player in the field in that game. 24 touches, 3 goals, 3. Could have had 5.
Yeah.
You're looking at a genuinely generational talent, I think, then. But Micho, love your work on the Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. When you need tires, ask for Continental, continental-tires.com.au. We will see you same time, same place, 12 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. See you then.